Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about peace. We'd like to learn how can we advance toward a state of peace between countries, between people, instead of war. Be with us, Nitza, please.
Yeah.
Throughout life, we learn many things. But one of the things that we can't really actualize in our life is to really reach a state of true peace between us. By saying between us, I mean in any of our life circles. And one of our biggest challenges is to achieve peace between countries, within our society, between societies, between nations, between people. These usually feel like very different circles between which many times there are frictions and problems. And this causes us as individuals to feel insecure. It's like many times you get up in the morning and you have no idea where did this come from. And the feeling is that real lasting peace is something that we really have to be taught how to do. Up until now, we didn't really learn how to build a lasting, real, deep peace that can elevate our entire society to a new level. So today we'd like to talk about education for peace. So let's look at our society, the Israeli society. There are many different factions, groups, each with their own story, their own history, and when we want to bring them together to unite them, we encounter a hardship of how to really start doing this, how to start merging everyone and everything. So on our previous show, we talked about several basic principles that we have to be acquainted with before we embark on this journey of making peace. So I'd like to ask, the educational process of learning how to make peace, how to create a lasting peace, does it start between country leaders, between groups? How do you start? Who do you start with? Children? Maybe grown-ups.
It's
a problem. What's the right framework to start with? First of all, you start by explaining. You need a system, a mechanism that can explain these things to the public. To explain what peace is. Before that, we have to explain why are we at war. Each of us against the entire world. Everyone against everyone else. On different levels. Meaning to explain about our nature. More correctly put, who are we by nature? We're egoists. That we're an egoistic desire, that everyone wants to benefit at the expense of others, gain at the expense of others. And this is how we are by nature, that the more we advance in our human development, we become crueler, we become more successful in using everyone. And therefore, our struggles throughout history is a proof of that. Now the question is, what do we do? If we let it go and we say, okay, this is how nature is, let's flow. What happens, happens. You know, all in all, what is life? If we can't flow anymore, because we see how we're really losing big time with our children and grandchildren. And even in relation to ourselves, our life, the dangers that we have to encounter, how we're destroying our planet, that we're really at the verge of war all the time. So maybe there is really something that we can do. Because I see that there are many people that simply, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, that's it. this the attitude. I'm not saying that this is a wrong attitude, because once I don't have a way to change my fate, that's life. You come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Then at least I'll enjoy the time I have left to live. And humanity puts a lot into it. It's all the media and tourism. Look what's going on in the world. Everyone's flying. Where? Doesn't matter where. The main thing is to fly someplace, leave this place for that place, have the scenery changing all the time. True. But along with it, we're entering such states where we see that no matter how we twist and turn ourselves, lie to ourselves, still we discover that we're miserable. And you could see it according to the suicide rates, drugs, you can see it on our children. The situation isn't great. Meaning, we can't really confuse ourselves. Probably, this process is rooted in nature, that we'll understand that we have no choice and that we have to relate to life seriously, that there's no place to run to and we have to learn. We thought that we can use all of our technology, wisdom, philosophy, whatever, in order to confuse ourselves. In all possible ways, but you can't. Nature is only showing us that we're so ready for it, and still we can't do it. And then what happens is that we start thinking, what do? Because we have no choice. We see that the new generation, what they do is that they close themselves off. Yeah, because if I don't know how to connect, then okay, let's shut ourselves off. Leave me alone. In short, probably going in this direction was not good for the future of mankind. Were we to keep advancing in this direction? But nature nonetheless prepared many different thoughts for us. And very unpleasant situations where we can't really agree to this deterioration and withdrawing into a life where I simply work on forgetting and forgetting and forgetting about the present leaves neither the present nor a future for me. One that I can exist in, I simply feel such an emptiness that it's better to die than live this way. And I also can't die. So here we're in a state where we have to find some kind of solution for our life. And therefore, here we have to develop some kind of education to supplement the situation, and this is the state that we're in. So, if we look at the Israeli society, for example, a society in which there are many groups, disagreements, struggles, how do we begin some kind of process of education for peace? First of all, we have to learn what our nature is. We have to learn about it. What are we capable of doing? What can't we? What would we like to do? And what won't we be able to do? How are we really limited? What subconsciously happens to us? Who's controlling us? We or nature? Or is nature cunningly managing us in a way that we think that we're doing it, that we're in control? So the first stage is in order to advance is self-recognition, understanding who am I, what am I, and the boundaries of the extent to which I can change my fate and in what direction and what is there ahead from this variety of the different possible options. We have to develop this and teach this. One of the processes that they're trying to do in schools, high schools, is a process called integration. Now, the purpose of integration is one. It's completely clear that there are different groups and children from different backgrounds and cultures. All this is clear. They're saying integration in and of itself is a goal. Why? Because we want to take children from different backgrounds and to really turn them into some one entity that's more connected, that feel that they're a part of the same story, same culture. And additional thing is that the result or byproduct of integration is we see that it improves a person's ability to study, future economic conditions improve. Meaning, we see that there is a certain move that they're trying to make. Were I to ask you, what is the basic principle for the success of integration? I don't think that it's possible. I also don't think that the integration, the way you mean it, and the way that they're trying to do it, that it is a successful process. True, we see that integration doesn't necessarily work. Maybe here and there, but in general, I think that it should actually show us our inability to connect with one another. I think that as a result of this integration, there's more separation later on, hate, and throughout the process itself. Yeah, and even though that there is some kind of connection, later on we see how unsuccessful it really is. So integration can show that it's impossible to bridge the gaps. Yeah, there's this abyss that opens up that previously we didn't really see how big it really is. So this is why it seems that in the short run they're like getting closer, but actually in the long run, as it says, the connection of the wicked is bad for them and bad for the world. What's missing in this kind of integration? We're not correcting them from the start. They remain egoists. Everyone thinks about himself, how to exploit others, and what can you get as a result of the connection between them? Only how to overcome the others. And what happens is that we're coming closer and closer to a war, to disputes. So better a distant neighbor, and then he seems better than a close neighbor. There are states in life where integration between different groups is, you know, you can't avoid it. It can be in a certain country where there are several groups, different groups that live in the same country. No one maybe chose it, but this is life. One country, several different groups. Could also happen in the world of business. One organization buys another organization. Up until now, they had their own organizational culture, and now they have to change it. There are many such situations in life where you have two different groups, consisting of tens, sometimes hundreds, thousands of people, and life forces them to get along. The question is, how do you connect them in the best possible way? What conditions do you need for it? Where do you start the process? So that eventually what we'll get is that these two different groups, through a process of peace and integration, you brought them to a more advanced state. What do you have to know in order to manage this process correctly? You said that we don't know how to do it correctly. This we know. The question is, how do we do it correctly? It's thoroughly explained in the wisdom of Kabbalah that first of all, we have to educate them. Education consists of explanation, an extended explanation about who are we, what is human nature, about our egoistic desire that controls each and every one of us, that we can't rise above it. Under what conditions can we agree to rise above our ego? When I rise above my ego, what do I get in return nonetheless? Because my ego is my entire life. So if I'll get something that's greater than life, then I am willing to rise above my own ego. So what could be greater than life? And here I already start to see that before me there is something great. Something that is greater than my current self. That now I can let myself go and clothe in that new state, to come out of myself into a new degree. This process, is it correct for any kind of integration between different groups? If we're talking about studying integral education, education for peace, then we have to go through this. Okay, suppose I have a country that has now many immigrants. Suppose if I look at Israel in the past 20 or 30 years, I think that more than a million people came here from the former USSR countries. So this is a very big group that came here and met another group, the people that were supposed born here. I see that after 20 or 30 years, the integration succeeded in certain things, and in certain things, it didn't happen. There was no integration at all. You brought from the former USSR a million doctors, engineers, nurses, and so on and so forth. By this, you actually caused a certain involvement of the state of Israel. And now that these million people that caused this development as they're retiring, we see how the state of Israel is left without nurses and without this and without that. Now we're really eating it. So there wasn't any. It's not integration. Simply the labor market. Okay, what I'm interested in is how to perform this process correctly. I just bring it as a model for any other kind of integration. I have two completely different groups. Life forces them to be together. How do you create a correct process of integration? I think that those that came from the USSR, they were more ready, also not really, but more ready for integration, both because it was a new place for them. You understand, the person that comes to a new place where he's not boss and so on. But here, the state of Israel itself wasn't ready for integration. It can't take in people. Yeah, there's this process called absorption. this is what they call absorption. To give everyone some small amount of money for them to find their corner and get along. And you see, well, with those that came from the USSR, it worked because they're strong people. They suffered there too. They have professions. They're modern enough and so on. So with them it worked. With the other groups that come to Israel, it doesn't work. What we did wrong, that's clear to everyone. The question is, how do you correctly integrate people? Not by a certain amount of people coming from abroad, but by teaching the people that are already here, living in this country, how to be integrated with one another. In order to integrate, you don't have to bring someone from the outside, as if you want to integrate two parts. Integrate those that are here, the people that are already here in the state of Israel. They're not integrated, the people living here. You have many factions, many groups, such things that I don't know if there's another country that's so divided completely. So how do we correctly integrate the society here? Through education. Education for Peace. This is the name of our show. So let's elaborate on this a bit. First of all, to explain, I understand every person has to learn from the age of kindergarten and until his last day, including old age, including everything. Each and every person has to be in a system in which he learns all the time, through television, through the internet, through their mobiles, doesn't matter how. And they're registered, like with Social Security. Everyone has an ID number. Everyone has to be in this system, has to take or pass exams, do different exercises, homework, everyone. Doesn't matter in what language, but people have to go through this education where a person listens to these lessons through the different forms of media and does exercises and sends it somehow. And once in a while, he comes to some physical meeting and participates there. It has to be a national, worldwide task. So what I understand is that if we want to start a process of educating for peace, for correct integration, it has to include everyone. Meaning if I have two groups that I want to start bringing them closer or integrating them, it won't help that the leaders of this group and the leaders of that group will reach some kind of agreement. But in this process, all the people in both groups have to, first of all, every group separately. Okay, so this is the second principle. Of course, everyone separately. There's no integration between them yet. First of all, we explain this to them and they start understanding and examining this on themselves, what an egoist each of them is, not thinking about anything else. That this is how nature is working in them. That they become aware that it's not them, but it's nature. It's like we look at a cat or a dog or something. We say, this is their nature. This is how they are by nature. This is how we look at ourselves and we say, this is my nature, this is your nature, his nature. And there's no dispute about it. It's not good or bad, but it's nature. So first of all, this is what we learn. You say that every group learns, studies this separately. It's preferable to do this in a group. No, I mean, I'm not yet starting to connect the different groups. No, I'm not even thinking about that. So, first of all, there's a long process of learning inside the group itself. Yes. The next stage is that we try inside these groups after they've learned inside the groups, like in a classroom. Don't even call them a group yet. It's a classroom. That in these classrooms, there start to be interconnections between them. So these groups, more correctly, they divide into tens. Tens meaning what? 10 people in a group, and they try to examine this on themselves. Can they connect? And then they discover that they can't. What is this examination? To practically realize what we previously theoretically studied. So, how can we measure whether we're ready to connect already or not? First of all, not you and her, but a group of men and a group of women. What should we examine? The measure to which you can think to the benefit of each other. Okay, and suppose that we can to some extent, so you continue. But when does that stage, when you start integrating the different groups, when does that come? In the meantime, it's only happening inside the groups. So we first of all have to reach the level where people think favorably about each other. Yes. After this, when does the stage that we can start integrating the two groups, when does that come? When every group becomes as a person, as one person. What do you mean? That in their connection, they'll become as one. That they'll become as one in the one group, and they'll connect in the other group, and will also become as one. And then I can start bringing them together, because they've already learned inside their groups how each of them has to annul himself in order to connect with the others. So in conceding himself, he already learned how to do it, and now every group as one can annul itself, concede itself in order to connect with the other group. And then they start merging and connecting in order to build a third thing. So what connects them is actually the method. It's no longer the culture, history, values, ideology, but the method itself that everyone's implementing between them. This is actually what helps them connect. It's like we're all learning a certain language, and suddenly we all start speaking the same language. And it's a completely new language. Yes. Unfortunately, our time's up. Dr. Leitman, education for peace. What's the most important thing that I should remember for it to succeed? First of all, to know that we have no choice, but to approach something completely new, and there we will get a new life. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.